Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, also all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And soon to be part of our website will be our Boston, Massachusetts presence. And this show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. So call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 for a personalized, customized, what we like to call knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. So you drive by a house and there's a sign on it, it's got a million bits of information on it. Just write down 631-4800, call the hotline. It'll prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. Hunt Real Estate is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams. We've had an exciting couple weeks with both of our Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres and also the Rochester Americans. We are broadcast live on WBEN 930 AM, and if you want to call us here in the studio, you can reach us at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. And we even have a text line, which is 30930. I have to be reminded every week. Anyway, I have got a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is the CEO of Univera. Good morning, Art Lingerter.
Morning, Peter. How are you?
It's good to have you here. Back again, I should say. It's been a little while since you've been on, and a lot has happened in the healthcare world. And it's particularly, I think, important to a lot of our listeners for a number of reasons. But let's start with the most obvious in terms of the recent past, and that is the fact that seemingly everyone wanted to point to healthcare, in just those two words, as a major factor in the last election. Tell us from your perspective in that industry, how important an issue is that, particularly in light of the fact, and this is something that I really don't know, I certainly don't know, and I'm not sure, I don't know if you know, in light of the fact that most people are covered under their employer's health insurance. So when we talk about healthcare being an issue, to whom is it an issue and why?
Well, boy, that's a loaded question. It's interesting that when Trump ran, he ran pretty much on the platform of pulling back Obamacare, or the Health Act. What happened when he was in the administration? So they changed a few things, right? They eliminated the mandate, the individual mandate, and they tried to pull back the Medicaid, the expansion of Medicaid coverage. New York is very progressive, and so New York always had and was way out in front of, you know, the national coverage. When Obamacare came in, you know, you looked at a couple of many of the southern states, and they didn't cover much of what New York had already covered. So when you heard that rates were going up across the country by 30, 40, 50%, it was mostly in the southern states because they had to add the benefits, pre-existing conditions, for example, into the formula to pay for that health care. New York had already had most of all those benefits in. So we saw little to no increases, across the state in terms of what the Obamacare affects. So dial it forward, you know, to today and the recent election. And the New York State Senate did flip from Democrat to Republican, And many of the, both the Assembly and the Senate.
The New York State Senate.
The New York State Senate flipped from Republican to Democrat, which is very, very important because they controlled the Assembly but not the Senate. So now they control both the Senate and the Assembly. And the, as we know, the Governor Cuomo is our governor, who is Democratic. So the cost factors there now, the point on that is that New York State, many of those that ran in this past election ran on, you know, the healthcare platform. And so many of those that were elected, you know, were lobbying, you know, in their campaign to go to a single payer system, which is interesting because people have to understand the difference between universal healthcare and single payer system.
Let me stop you there, sure. Because I'm sure our listeners have heard that term 1,000 times, and I would say probably 2% of them really understand what that means. What does single payer mean?
So single payer means what's being proposed is that Medicare for all type of insurance. So it's somewhat the platform that Bernie Sanders ran on. You know, Medicare for all coverage, and if you understand the Medicare that is given now is provided for the seniors. So if you're 65 or over, you know, you're eligible for Medicare. And there's some other qualifications. If you're disabled or end-stage renal, you qualify for Medicare. But it's basically the coverage that the Medicare recipients get. Now, how is that paid for? That becomes the next question. So in our system today, you know, so Univera, you know, and the other health insurance providers in this region provide pretty much three types of insurance: commercial insurance, which you mentioned, right, it's which you get through your employer;
mm-hmm.
Medicare, which is provided for the elderly, 65 and over, and some of the other qualifications; and Medicaid. And Medicaid is typically you qualify for Medicaid based on income. So the poor, it's called the safety net. The poor are eligible for Medicaid. The elderly are eligible for Medicare, and then the vast majority, the other, you know, significant piece is provided by employer group insurance. The Medicaid and Medicare are both government-run programs.
So you have then what population is this massive group of uninsured then?
Well, interesting, in New York State, there's only about 3% uninsured, and so that's where we get to the question of universal health care versus single payer. So is the idea for single payer to have coverage for everyone? Well, right now in New York State, you know, 98% of people are currently covered, and there's only that 3% that is not covered, and it's said that half of that 3% would be eligible for Medicaid if they applied, or typically when they do have a health care occurrence, if they go to the hospital. The hospital's pretty wise today. They make sure that if they're eligible for Medicaid, they get them covered so they get paid. So that we're only talking about maybe 1-1.5% of the people in New York State that aren't covered. Some of that was supposed to be addressed with the mandate for individual coverage, but that was repealed. So, you know, some of that might be the young and healthy that don't want to pay for the insurance because, you know, they think they're young and healthy and they'd mm-hmm. rather have the money to pay for, you know, a house mortgage or an apartment or a better car.
Going out at night.
Yeah, or go out at night.
Not that we know anything about that. But this pay for how question you asked earlier, let's assume that some form of this universal coverage went into effect in New York State or the United States as a whole. How much of a gap would we have to pay for, and then how would that happen?
So,
and what would happen to organizations like yours?
So single payer has been proposed and has passed in other states. For example, Vermont, Bernie Sanders' state. It was passed and implemented, but it was pulled back because they simply couldn't afford it. It's proposed now. The devil's in the details, and it's not passed. It has passed in the New York State Assembly for several years. It's a Democrat-controlled assembly. The concern now is that now that the Senate is Democrat, that it would also pass in the Senate and then put onto the governor's desk. It's proposed right now to be paid for, and it's called the New York Health Act, to be paid for through an employer tax. So if you're an employee, right, or employer, it's proposed that 80% of the tax would be paid by the employer and 20% by the employee. So if you're an employee making $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, you might pay very little because today, you know, you might qualify for Medicaid. So the low earners would pay very little. However, the employer is still going to pay a tax on that. But as you graduate up, it's a progressive tax. So if you're making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, one of the pieces that came out from the proponents of this was that if you're making $400,000, you would pay $40,000 taxed, $40,000. So the employer is going to pay 80% of that $40,000, and the employee would pay 20% of that $40,000, progressively going up.
What happens to companies like yours?
Well, it's unclear and undetermined because right now—
I mean, could an employer just opt into, say, I've already got a plan?
So, no.
They would not be able to.
That's not how it would work. So currently, we as a provider of Medicare and Medicaid services, in some form, the government, whether it's the federal government for Medicare or the state, New York State, they actually transfer that risk for those individuals to us. So we actually are a Medicare and Medicaid provider. So members of this community can come to us, and it's called Medicare Advantage, rather than going into the direct federal Medicare program. We offer slightly better programs and buy-ups that include benefits greater than what's offered by the Medicare. It's unclear if New York State would then similarly, like they do with Medicaid or Medicare today, transfer that, and there would be no more employer-based insurance. It would just be individual-based insurance. So that we might that risk might be transferred to us, the insurer. It's unclear because it's not settled law yet. There is the option that the health insurers like ours would go away.
Our mission on this show is to help people protect and enhance their investment in real estate here, and obviously one of the greatest impact on real property taxes is Medicaid, because of the transference of the cost of Medicaid to the counties, basically. So what would happen in that case?
Well, I don't see that property tax would go away, Peter.
It's not going to go away.
So that tax would stay in place. And if you understand Medicaid in Erie County alone, for example, there is about 250,000 residents of Erie County that's currently covered by Medicaid. The budget, I believe, 3 years ago for Erie County for Medicaid was in excess of $2 billion. So it's kind of staggering when you think about it. So one county in New York State, budget of $2 billion for Medicaid. So
I understand that's more than the whole tax, real property tax levy, period.
Significantly more.
Which is shocking.
So the states that have implemented this, so it's passed and tried to be implemented in Vermont, which got tremendous support, from the then governor, Bernie Sanders, and it failed and they reverted back because they just couldn't afford it. It's passed in California, but California is sitting there saying, we can't afford this. We can't pay for this. The numbers just don't make sense.
So what are they going to do?
Well, there's a lot of momentum, and there's a lot of people that ran currently, in the New York State that actually just got their new jobs running on the platform for single-payer system in New York State.
Why would this seem so attractive to the average citizen if they know that, if they've seen examples where the cost goes up, who's going to pay?
I don't think it's on the radar screen of the average citizen.
But then how can they claim that it's such an important issue? It's not, if people don't even understand it.
The governor has actually, when the governor, if you saw and listened to his primary against Cynthia Nixon, Cynthia Nixon was a huge proponent of single payer. Mm-hmm. The math is different. When you get down to the math, it's different. She couldn't really explain, how it was going to be paid for. The governor actually, kind of was very hesitant, saying that this really, even though the concept he agrees, but the governor says this is more a national issue than a state issue. And one of the things that if New York State were to pass this, they could never implement it unless they got the waivers from the federal government for Medicaid and Medicare, because the federal government funds the Medicare recipients and they fund a great percentage of the Medicaid also in New York State. So unless the federal government said, we'll transfer that funding to you to pay for your single-payer type system, the math will never work. And the current administration at the federal level has already come out and said, we're not gonna give waivers to New York State to do this if they pass it that way. So there is some protection there that it won't happen. But getting back to my earlier point, the Governor Cuomo is very concerned, and he's yet to say that he would be supportive of this because, you know, it's his reputation at stake. If this doesn't work and costs run amok, they own it. And it would just, the only way that they can pay for it is through additional taxes. Of which, if you're an employer in New York State, or if you're an employer looking to come to New York State, we're already the highest, one of the, if not the highest, you know, tax state in the country. So to add this to, on top of the taxes that we currently pay, would make it very, very difficult for, you know, my friend Tom Kucharski at Invest Buffalo Niagara to attract businesses to, you know, upstate New York and New York State alone, period.
Yet there was so much noise about this in the last election, and no doubt in 2020 it's going to be on the table again. How in the world will there be enough? How will anyone be able to understand what's really going on and what the net impact would be? Let's say, as Governor Cuomo indicates, that it becomes a national issue, and the tide is so fast moving that all of a sudden it becomes a national thing. How do we then pay for it, and what happens next in this country? Because we've seen what's happened in other countries, and we've seen the issue of rationing of healthcare, for example. I mean, there's only going to be so much that will be reimbursed for such and such a procedure, which will make it more difficult in my mind. Correct me if I'm wrong, to recruit high quality talent to be doctors, because if your income is limited and there's no kind of competition, let's say, within that industry for the best care, if people are willing to pay for it, then how in the world do we justify?
So one of your points you made was, you know, physicians, you know, mm-hmm. are you going to make a decision to, you know, to be a physician?
Right.
Or are you already a physician and you're aging out? Are you going to retire early? And already there's a shortage of physicians. So mm-hmm. one of the counterpoints to this is that if we went to a single payer system, that New York State would pay at or about the Medicare reimbursement level. Now, if you understand the reimbursement level system, you know, Medicaid, if you're a doctor or a hospital, Medicaid is the lowest reimbursement. Medicare is slightly above the Medicaid reimbursement. And then the commercial insurance, is really what they say is profitable. If they didn't have the commercial insurance reimbursement, they'd be in trouble.
Hospitals.
So the hospitals and the provider system.
Mm-hmm.
So if that was the case, and there's a many studies out there saying that, you know, if you are a hospital in the inner city and your percentage of reimbursement is heavy Medicaid, you actually might get a little bump because you're going to get up to the Medicare reimbursement. But if you're a hospital system like the Kaleidas in Buffalo or the Catholics, it's really the commercial insurance, the blend of the commercial insurance that actually allows them. And they only work on maybe, you know, 2-3% margin each year. So it's absolutely a concern of theirs of what's going to happen, and it's actually a huge concern of the provider community that we're already hearing that if that was the case and it was the Medicare rate was paid to the provider community, both physicians and hospitals, that we'd see a significant shortage of physicians incoming and going out. The real challenge that really nobody is talking about, right? Healthcare is huge cost to our country, right? 20% of the GDP. Nobody's talking. This doesn't solve the cost of healthcare. I mean, nobody's saying that this is a solution. That mm-hmm. what's going to stop this train, you know, of increasing costs? So that's what we have to look at. So, you know, in our world, you know, a health plan, 90% of the premium dollars that we get, maybe it's 88%, but for simple math, 90%. of what we take in terms of revenue and premiums goes to pay the hospitals, goes to pay the physicians, goes to pay for the prescriptions. So that's what we have to focus on. You know, we get a lot of scrutiny about, you know, the healthcare plans and, you know, the profit that they make. Well, you know, we live on 0.5% to 1.5% margin each year. That's our target. So that's a pretty tight margin. But the administration, even if we did an incredible job, if there was the single payer system that would save administrative expenses because it's one administration instead of several health plans, even if you save 20 or 30% on the administrative the cost of 10%, that's only 2 to 3% of the total 100%. The real problem and issue is that 90% and how we got to control the cost of the 90% growing.
And what I'd like to do when we come back from the break is have you talk for a little bit about the quality of healthcare. One of the things that I think one of the most confusing things that the public has to listen to is the complaints that healthcare in this country is not as good as it might be in Sweden or pick a country. And I don't buy that. I don't buy it at all because I happen to know a little bit about it, but I'm not to be dangerous, I should say. But the fact of life is that certainly much of the great research in the world regarding healthcare takes place in this country. And I can't believe that would produce a worse system than any place else in the world. And we'll come back and talk about that. But the other thing that I want you to focus on, we come back, a bunch of things, but a lot of people don't understand that the three major providers in this community are not for profit. And I want you to explain that so that people understand that this is not, like as you watch television, you see the ads for, you know, this plan or that plan. Most of those plans are really hardly a factor in this community because of the not-for-profit status of organizations like yours. And we'll be right back with more from our House Cheers after these very important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. You just heard from Linda Malaya, the president of Hunt Mortgage. She was talking about the market conditions, and I just want to put a little footnote on that. It's interesting how if you watch the financial news, you'll see that housing comes up all the time now, that there seems to be a housing slowdown. I'm not sure where this is. Even the National Association of Realtors is predicting that sales will be, in terms of numbers of houses sold, will be hardly unchanged 2019 versus 2018, and it's very difficult to predict. But if you look at the factors that influence those kinds of things, the greatest of which is people's sense of security about their own job. That is probably the strongest it's been in this country in modern history. So I can't believe that from that perspective that we're going to see any significant downturn in the housing market. Having said that, interest rates do factor in, and interest rates are not going down. They don't appear to be going down anytime in the next, say, 12 months. So based on that, I encourage you, as Linda Malaya did, to, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, this is an ideal time, and it will probably never be cheaper than it is today. That's enough about that. I encourage you to call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask about our many exclusive programs that will help you in that process. That's 633-3700. And if you just want to ask about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center at 633-9400, and we'll either answer your question right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, buying or selling, financing, insuring, or even fixing up your home. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. Strongest guarantee in the industry, that's a seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. Talk to them today. I'm in the studio today with Art Wingerter. Mr. Wingerter is the CEO of Univera Health. Is that what?
Univera Healthcare, yep.
That's the official name. Okay, good. Which is a health insurer. And we're talking about all the things that are relative to the cost of healthcare, among other things, and also the provision of healthcare, which is really ultimately what your organization is responsible for. In other words, a company would come to you or an individual comes to you and said, I want to ensure that I'm going to be okay. But if I'm not, I want you guys to pick up the tab. Is that basically how it works?
Pretty much. It's similar to auto insurance.
Just drive your
car. But a little more important.
A little more important, that's right. Unless you're hurting your car, then you got to call somebody else, right? Anyway, before the break, we were talking about two things, and I just want you to comment on them, if you would, please, Art. We've got a caller on the line, but before we get to that, the issue of quality of health care came up regularly and comes up all the time, that for some reason people think that you can go to Cuba and get better health care than you get in the United States, or you can go to Canada or Europe or someplace in South America. And there's even this medical tourism thing that's taking place where you can fly to India and have a surgical procedure done at a fraction of the cost that it would be in the United States. What do you know about that, and how true is that? Is it as I believe, that this is still the best place in the world for healthcare?
Take cost out of the equation. There's no question in my mind that the U.S. and Buffalo, Erie County, Western New York has fantastic quality healthcare. Some of the best delivery in the country. I think Buffalo has, for 98-99% of the conditions, you're going to get world-class best delivery system that there is. You've got Roswell Park is one of the highest-rated cancer centers in the country. The research that they do and the delivery of care that they have for the niche type of cancers, you can't go anywhere else. What happens is you might hear that I had to go to Cleveland Clinic, or I had to go to Strong in Rochester. I had to go to, you know, New York City to get, you know, something, you know, some. But, you know, there's niche doctors and that service those really niche type of cancers that you might have to go outside for. Likewise, you know, there are niche, you know, physicians that are at Roswell that people come to Buffalo for. If you have a baby, you know, that needs that's born that doesn't go full term. Both the Children's Hospital and Sisters Hospital, the NICUs at both of those are world class. I mean, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the country than one of those two NICU units. So we have tremendous health care here. Cost is the other factor. You mentioned that tourism, medical tourism. Well, you know, one of the issues in this country is the, you know, the cost of the procedures. Well, in India, they're going to be cheaper, just like a call center, right? Just where, like, you know, we outsource call center labor because the physicians are paid significantly less. The hospital costs are significantly less. But quality, no, quality is just as good in this community as it is in this country than anywhere in the world.
So let's go to cost for just a second. Your organization is not for profit, as are your two main competitors. What percentage of the market do you three occupy? That would be what people know as Blue Cross and Blue Shield and also Independent Health.
So we, in Western New York, which is the eight counties of Western New York, we, the three non-for-profit payers, are about 85% of the market share. Now, you have to understand what a non-for-profit, so you mentioned Health Now, Blue Cross, and Independent Health, and Univera Healthcare. We're non-for-profit. So we work on a low margin. I mentioned before, about a 1% margin. We're a for-profit. The for-profits are the Uniteds, the Cignas, the Aetnas. They have very little market share in this community because what we do is our mission is to bring the mission of all three of I have very formidable competitors. That our mission is to bring high quality, affordable healthcare to the community, and invest in the community. And I can talk about how we invest in the community as well. Mm-hmm. So the profits of a for profit are more in the 5 to 7% range, they've got a obligation responsibility. They're publicly traded companies.
For shareholders.
To shareholders. So that, you know, those profits go to the shareholders, where we invest in the community. And we fund tremendous amount of community health-related projects, but we also fund community-related projects. I mean, we're very active in, you know, the Buffalo Niagara Partnership. We're very active in Invest Buffalo Niagara. And we fund, you know, community. We sponsor community activities. You know, I like to focus on health-related. But, you know, we unlike, you don't see the for-profits investing in the community like the three not-for-profit health plans in Western New York.
So as a functional matter, then, our listeners would want to know that the difference between you and one of the ones that they might see advertised on television is that your margin, so to speak, your profit margin, at least a portion of that is plowed back into the community as a not-for-profit, as opposed to plowed back to shareholders in terms of a return on their investment.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, and I hope our listeners can understand that. I tried to make it as simple as I could make it, and I'm with Art's help, of course. So that's 85% of the market. Why would someone choose not to be in that system?
Well, it's interesting. So you're an employer group in Western New York. You're an entrepreneur, and you've got a company with 200 employees, and you sell. Good for you, right? You sold your business, you cashed out. And you, but the company, the entity that bought you is maybe located in Chicago, mm-hmm. and they've got other companies all over the United States. A United or an Aetna, you know, is a solution for them because they provide services in every state. So and an employer doesn't like to fragment their insurance; they like one solution. So typically, that'll go back to the Chicago solution, and so. The unfortunate reality is United and Aetna, they don't have real strong provider networks in this region. So now that you're an employee that just got United Insurance, your doctor might not be in the network. But it's not so much of a concern of the Chicago-based company because they got one easy solution. So those things have to be worked through. That's kind of how that happens.
In our last minute before the break, let's take a couple calls. This is Gustav from Louisville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Thank you. I'm concerned with the customer behavior, and it seems that in terms of cost, the only cost that the customer is typically concerned with is the premium versus the cost of the medical procedure. And it seems like...
The premium or the deductible?
The high deductibles have not sold particularly well, and those are the only, it seems to me, insurance policies where you have a negotiation about the service itself, which would better create a market for the services and perhaps drive down the cost of health care if the consumer cared at all about how much or whatever procedure cost. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So the high deductible plans got somewhat popular and got some momentum as the tools also were introduced, the flexible spending accounts and the health saving accounts, because they were tools that would help you pay for that deductible. So the term consumer-driven health, right, also came in and about when the high deductible plans or the deductible plans, not necessarily high deductible, it could be a smaller deductible, came about. The challenge becomes that the cost of care, you know, typically if you have a procedure, you know, if you have any type of serious procedure, you typically blow right through that deductible very mm-hmm. quickly. So there hasn't been the consumer engagement in that process. There's no negotiation. There's not like you're going to call two or three different providers and say, can you do this less for, it's just not how the system works. And the system, admittedly, there is very little transparency in pricing to a consumer. They can't get, if they called their doctor and said, I need an MRI, you know, how much does it cost? The provider, the doctor's office couldn't even tell you that.
Right. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that. And we're also going to talk about this issue of self-insurance, because I think there's another area of vast confusion out there. And we'll be right back with more from our house to yours after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day. But one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And you've heard from Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage, twice on the show today, and I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. Ask about any of our many personalized programs that we'd like to put together for you, and also the consultative process, which is really the key to a mortgage today. It's really understanding where you are at this point in your life and how we can best find the product that will meet those particular needs. And there's hundreds and hundreds of products out there. It's very difficult for the average person to respond to something that they might see on television and have that make sense for them in their own lives. It might sound good. Then when you get the telemarketer on the phone, you find out it's really may not apply to you or might not be the best program. So call Hunt Mortgage first. We can help you with all that. 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Art Wingerter, the CEO of Univera Healthcare, and we've been talking about, I guess, a lot of foundational issues relative to the whole matter of healthcare in people's lives and the fact that it's so front and center. And as I watched diligently during the last election cycle to see if anybody would bother to explain what they talked about, what they were talking about when they said, well, healthcare is the number one issue. What part of healthcare? I mean, not one commentator got anything past this whole concept of just mentioning the single-payer system, but never explaining it. There was not one that I saw. Now, maybe I obviously missed a lot of news, thank God, but the fact of life is it's a big mystery to people. And we were just before the break, I did ask you, and I want to ask you to elaborate. Would part of that 15% of the companies that aren't going through one of the not-for-profits, would they be in the self-insured category?
Well, it's likely that those that self-fund, the companies that self-fund, typically are very large employers because they can tolerate some of the risk if they have the strong finances to do that. Quite often they are because they, they're aggregating several different businesses and they have, over 1,000 employees or whatever the number they feel comfortable at self-insuring. But that typically is what we see the nationals insure. Those the companies that are local are part of a larger group that are self-funding themselves, typically out of Boston, Chicago, New York, not necessarily New York, but that's where we lose to the national player.
So the bottom line is that most people that might be listening to this show are probably either working directly with you as an individual or working through their employer with companies like yours.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good thing. A good basis to move from. Let's go back to Obamacare just for a second here. We've had 7 or 8 years of that, and how is it going really? What's really happening with that? Besides what you mentioned earlier. The exclusion now of the individual mandate.
So, once you put something in motion like that, it's very, very difficult to unwind. The big national issue that it's still debated, and that you hear about is the pre-existing conditions, right? So,
That is the one thing they did talk about, but they never explained it really.
And I don't think that they're nationwide, state by state, I don't think that there is any question. And New York State, by the way, had covered pre-existing conditions long before Obamacare. So it's really was a state by state issue. I don't think there's an appetite in any state, to go backwards on the pre-existing condition item. The issue there is that if insurance companies are indeed going to cover pre-existing conditions, then, that will affect, premium costs for everybody. That cost of that now taking on that risk has to be spread across all members. So all members will have to pay, contribute to the cost of pre-existing conditions. But I don't think that there's an appetite really for anybody to pull back on pre-existing conditions.
So as far as Obamacare goes, is that beyond the pre-existing conditions and the individual mandate, what will happen with the bill under, let's say, reasonable predictive circumstances?
One of the significant things that the Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act did was expand Medicaid services. One of the things that the Trump administration pulled back on was the expansion of Medicaid, of which the federal government pays a significant contribution to. New York State, even though the Trump administration pulled that back, New York State and the Governor Cuomo left that in. So there's a plan called, for example, the Essential Plan, where you could make more than and be make more money than you would be if you were eligible for Medicaid. So it allowed you like one step further and two step further than the income levels of being Medicaid eligible. So maybe you qualify for the Essential Plan and you have to pay $20 a month, but it's almost like getting Medicaid-like type coverage. New York State left that in.
The state picks up the difference?
The state picks up the tab.
In other words, the taxpayers pick it.
Yes.
So that's just an extra burden that in New York State functionally was the result of this, of what the Trump administration was trying to do.
If you're eligible for that product,
yep.
It's fantastic.
Okay, it's a good deal. Okay. So let's talk about the issue of the future of Obamacare. Given what you said, it's already in place. There's a huge infrastructure. There's a big bureaucracy that's managing this whole thing. That's not going to go away. We understand that. No matter who's in office, it's not going to go away. So even if they'd repealed it, there would have been a wind down period that would have been years long, wouldn't it?
So, the many ran on the platform of let's fix it, don't repeal it. Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good that was in there. There was a lot of good for the country in terms of providing an access to, greater care. Again, I want to revert back to New York State is a very progressive state, and much of what was in the Obamacare was already in there.
We already had.
So the other point was New York State, in terms of, let's get back to the uninsured rate, we are at the level of uninsured where Obamacare wanted to get into the country, 15 years from now, that they would get to, maybe 90%. Insured, so only 10% uninsured. Well, we're already at 97% mm-hmm. insured. So again, we're as a state, we're well advanced, and we do the coverage, much more coverage than other states did. So we're already ahead. So if they repealed it, I think New York State is probably going to, keep those benefits in place.
So it would fall back to the states. So how does a state like New York use that as a competitive advantage? I mean, you mentioned your involvement, for example, with the partnership and Invest Buffalo Niagara. And I interview Dottie and Tom, and we've talked about this many, many times, but the issue of our competitiveness keeps coming up. And as I look at the momentum in our community and how we maintain that momentum, obviously the best way to do that is to be highly competitive with other states when a company is looking to expand or move.
So one of the tools, actually, that Invest Buffalo, Niagara, and Tom and his team uses, they actually show the healthcare premiums for employer groups relative to other states and other cities. We're still on the significantly low side compared to, what if you're in Boston or if you're in Chicago or if you're, in one of the, LA or wherever you are, Western New York, because we have such a high penetration of the non-for-profit health plans that keep, the margins low, and their mission is to bring high quality, affordable health care. And, I don't want to discount, our partners, the Jody LeMayos and the Mark Sullivans, and Candace Johnson and Tom Quattrochi, that run the health systems, their focus as well. I mean, we wouldn't be able to provide the premium levels that we could, you know, if they weren't running, you know, pretty efficient ships themselves.
One of the things that I've suggested to when I'm really way out there is that in terms of making our a more competitive community, couldn't we go the other way and say that we are a healthier community, and that we are a community that looks at the preventative side of this in a very aggressive way, that they're working on progressive ways to handle the opiate situation, things like, I know these are huge problems, and I we've only got a few minutes left, but I mean, is that ever entered into the discussions in your organization that we could take a different posture rather than waiting for a calamity to happen? We're going to get way out front of this thing, and some of your competitors talk about it, but I don't know how much the public buys into all that.
Well, you know, there's some communities out there in the country that really are known for their healthy communities. Wouldn't it be great if Buffalo was one of those? There is an organization, you know, again, that we're involved with, as is, you know, my Blue Cross partner and Independent Health. I mean, Population Health Collaborative. So we've kind of, this is an initiative to try to make, you know, the Western New York community a community like that. They're actually working on a program called 3450. And 3450 is all about, you know, creating, you know, a healthy community and you know, addressing the issues of obesity, childhood obesity. Hopefully, we'll, you know, they're also working with the Wilson Foundation. Because this, as Peter, as you know, this is an incredible undertaking. You can't transform, you know, a community, you know, in a month, in a week, in a year. You know, you can't do that. It's going to take time. But we, you know, nobody really does address, I mean, the chronic conditions, the everyday conditions, diabetes, all those things lead into the more expensive conditions. I mean, there's no question, you know, the science tells you, you know, that cancers come from, you know, those conditions. Early, you know, I have a friend that's a podiatrist that, you know, whenever I see him, I'm astounded by what he tells me, that the number of feet that he's actually amputating because of, you know, diabetic conditions that clearly could just be, you know, improved by lifestyle change.
And this is, I think, the big issue. And I think about Buffalo, Western New York is a healthy community. I'm glad to hear that your organization is at least taking some look at that and perhaps taking a lead on it, because as far as I'm concerned, that would make us a competitive place. That would be attractive, I think, to just about anybody. I want to thank the callers that waited and unfortunately didn't get a chance to talk, but I don't get a chance to get Mr. Wingirder on the air very often, and I want to make sure that I quiz him on a bunch of topics, and I had a bunch more, so I'm going to have to ask you to come back again sometime soon.
Happy to.
Art, so that we can delve into these topics. I want to thank you, Art Wingirder, CEO of Univera Healthcare, for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Peter.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time, and remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.